Having dealt with sin, redemption, and the sacraments, we need to understand what grace is. Grace allows us to rise above merely natural goodness. It justifies and sanctifies us. It is communicated to us in the sacraments. But what is it exactly? The traditional definition is presented by St. Peter in his second letter. Thus he has given us through these things his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of lust, and may become participants of the divine nature. Remember that redemption consisted in Christ assuming and sanctifying our human nature, allowing us to become part of his body, the Church. We become the adopted sons of God the Father by becoming united to Christ, the divine Son. Grace is that by which God communicates something of his divine nature to our souls, forming us into the likeness of the Son. In our episode on sin, we said that God had created us in the beginning to be endowed with grace over and above our nature, but now we can only be united to God through humbling ourselves, turning from sin, and accepting his grace, which was won for us in Christ's sacrifice. We can do nothing good by our own natural powers. We are infinitely distant from God, naturally speaking, and nothing we finite creatures do can reach across that infinite distance and attain or deserve God in his life. Grace is absolutely necessary for salvation, because we need God to come to us and sanctify our souls. Christ said very clearly to his apostles that he is the vine and they are the branches, and that without him they can do nothing. Not that they can only do a little bit, they can do nothing without his help, which is grace. So grace in general is this sharing in God's own life and nature, becoming his adopted sons. St. Thomas said that the minimum degree of sanctifying grace is greater than the natural good of the entire universe. This is given to us first in the sacrament of baptism. Sanctifying grace is that by which our soul has life, and when we sin gravely, we lose sanctifying grace. We are no longer united to God in love because we chose to turn away from him in a definitive way. This sanctifying grace is restored to us in the sacrament of penance or confession. It grows and is strengthened in us by the other sacraments, especially the Holy Eucharist. All of the sacraments communicate grace to us, and special graces particular to each sacrament. Even when we are in the state of grace, we still need the help of further graces to perform acts by which we grow in holiness, because, again, without him, we can do nothing. The graces which allow us to perform meritorious acts are called actual graces. So sanctifying grace is the life of our soul, and actual graces are individual motions of grace which help us to act in a supernatural way in a particular circumstance. We don't only need God to give us supernatural life, but we need God to give us the supernatural tools and the supernatural impetus to act in a supernatural way. Everything good in us is from grace. Everything bad in us is from ourselves alone, who have the freedom to reject grace. It's dangerous to enter into the territory of the relationship between grace and free will because it touches the very limit of our understanding of God's mysterious workings and has been the cause of intense debate and division in theological circles over many centuries. But we are led to wonder in what way we are free when it requires God's grace to be able to do anything at all, even to will something good. There is great mystery here. But we know that several things are absolutely true. 1. Of ourselves we have no natural ability to save ourselves or do anything supernaturally good and meritorious. 2. God desires the salvation of all and offers the grace of salvation to all. 3. Our freedom is real, and God does not force himself on us, but requires that we freely cooperate with his grace. We might not see how these all fit together exactly, but we know that they are all true. But consider this. God's eternal law governs all things. He guides each thing to its fulfillment according to its nature, as we have said many times. The rock is guided to its perfection in a way proper to the rock, plants in a way proper to their vegetative nature, animals in a way proper to their sensitive nature, and man in a way proper to his rational and free nature. So God's grace doesn't just allow us to act in a supernatural way, it causes us to do it freely. The idea of someone causing you to do something freely sounds contradictory, since another person telling me to do something in a way pushes against my will. But God is more interior and intimate to us than we are to ourselves, and his grace causes our will to act in the most perfect way. And remember that our will is for choosing the good. So with the aid of God's grace, our will is enabled to actually do what it is made for, choose the good freely. Consider that we, by continually freely choosing sin, cause ourselves to act unfreely. This is why we are said to become slaves to sin by both Christ and St. Paul. God causes lower creatures to act necessarily or almost necessarily. He causes us to act freely.